You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. This is the closing market report for Friday afternoon. It's USDA report day. On the phone line with us, as usual, is Mike Zuzlow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
No, busy, but really doing very well. Tell me about the numbers that you saw come out from the United States Department of Agriculture. At 11 o'clock this morning, they made some big changes, but it didn't matter a lot, at least for corn.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the big thing that I saw, Todd, was, and this is something that we'll probably need to skim over because it's a really detailed issue, but you have had a trade that has been trading the United States supply pretty much all year long in corn, in beans, and in wheat. And today's report, for corn at least, was friendly, because we didn't feed the corn bear by the ending stocks number. And the record short funds probably don't feel as comfortable based upon the U.S. corn ending stocks as they did before 11 o'clock Central. But the world numbers were bigger, and the world wheat numbers were bigger. And so the big question heading into next week is, do the futures traders, do the algorithmic fund traders switch and say, now we're going to go over to trading global numbers and not trade the U.S. numbers? And that was kind of what we saw today, but the beans kind of saved them from having to make the decision because the U.S. bean number was friendly in that it met the average trade guess and didn't come in with a massive 190 or 200 million bushel carryover. And most importantly, the global soybean ending stock number actually went down, which really surprised the trade. So the trade and the fund seemed like they went back to buying beans, selling corn, with the meal back in the driver's seat as the leader to the upside. So that's kind of the quick wrap-up after the report numbers.
Yeah, so the corn ending stocks number is now 1.887 billion bushels, 170 million bushels for the soybeans. But as you said, it was really the corn numbers globally that changed a great deal and put a lot more pressure eventually, I suppose, on the corn market. Usually we turn our attention away from the United States at about this time of the year and start looking other places, but that's for soybeans and not corn. Do you think it really will make that much of a difference?
I don't, because I think the trade got short on the and the funds are record short and maybe record net short based upon what CFTC does when they update their numbers, hopefully today. I think they'll stick with the U.S. numbers. And I say that because I think that the United States is the major supplier to the world this year, exactly the opposite of last year. So I guess I feel like that the USDA confirmed to the trade that we went low enough in corn prices to attract additional demand. We're up around that 13 billion bushel total demand number that you and I have talked about most of this season. And I think that says to the trade, you've done your job of taking prices low enough to seek out demand. Now, there's one other thing on this global corn stocks to use and supply number. They came in for the 2012 crop, last year's global supplies, and increased the number of ending stocks by 10%, or 483 million bushels. That is a huge number to increase a prior year's ending stocks figure. And not all of that was just United States. It wasn't just the United States carry-in from last year being increased by 100 and some million bushels. So this is where it's almost counterintuitive to have these type of numbers being traded by the trade, in my opinion anyway, because given the exports year-to-date and given the domestic demands being so strong, does it really matter that our carry-in last year was that much bigger? Because we probably already chewed through a good portion of that, and if we hadn't, then somebody's got some more stocks out there, so why would demand be so good? So that's one of the things that I think the futures market may have to continue to work through in the corn, but I think the cash market, as I said to clients and producers, I feel like the cash market maybe has at this point made a cash low now that harvest is over, at least until we get to the January report.
You okay with the changes in the yields? 160.4 for the corn, the average trade guess at 159.2 last time around, which was 2 months ago now, at 155.3. So it went from 155.3 to 160.4, almost a 5-bushel run. Actually, a 5.1-bushel increase in the corn. And the soybean yield went from 41.2 to 43, but that was above the average trade guess.
It was, and they compensated that with a bigger demand base in the beans, and they compensated that with a bigger crush, and that's where the meal's taken over. But, yeah, to answer your question, I think this is a very clean report, given we had no October report, And I think it was especially important that they came in and addressed the harvested acres at the same time as they addressed the yield so we could get a more accurate portrayal of the actual production. And I think also it was important to note that versus the September report, the ear weight actually went down just a smidge for this month's report. And that matches up and kind of validates that the Western Corn Belt did indeed struggle between prevent planted acres and also with some lighter yields that maybe the trade had not been factoring in, that they'd been concentrating more in the futures market about these record yields, which I think Indiana did put one in today. Ohio stayed unchanged, if I remember right. I think Illinois went up, but I'm not sure if that was a record or not.
So the harvested acreage for corn went from 89.135 in the September estimate to 87.2 million acres, and for soybeans it went from 76.384 to 75.7 million acres. I guess all in all, we have to really take a look at it now and say, okay, what happens? Does the futures market just stay put pretty much like it has? Soybeans have bumped up a little bit. And can basis at this point come back into the marketplace and offer an opportunity for producers, or do you have other ideas for corn?
No, I think that's the answer. I think the cash basis and the continuation of what we've traded, Todd, the last year, year and a half is probably what this report would suggest to me, that, okay, we did come in under 2 billion bushels. We did see a demand increase. My needs were met with the lower harvested acres, compensated for improved yields in the Eastern Corn Belt. Now, does the demand come in and start to shake out the cash market a little bit more and the global demand? The one thing that I think the trade is way off on, and this probably won't come as a surprise, is the wheat. The global wheat number is way too high based upon some of my contacts over in Europe. And the Australian number today was kept unchanged at 25.5 million tons. The attaché came out earlier this week out of Australia and lowered his estimate to 23.5 million tons. That didn't make today's report. And Paris wheat closed at a new two-week high because Algeria came in and bought about 700,000 tons this week from France. So the wheat demand is still very, very strong, yet the wheat closed near its lows again and has completely erased most of its rally from October. So I think this comes back in and supports the corn, the cash market for wheat, the cash market for corn, and I think technically the beans look very, very healthy, probably the best-looking bean chart I've seen in about 3 months.
You said that this was a clean set of numbers to you. There's also an estimate for the average cash price. It's down 30 cents on corn on both ends, $4 to 10 to 4.90 now. So that one dropped pretty dramatically.
Yeah, and keep in mind, most of the cash prices in the Eastern Corn Belt have gone sub $4. So here again, I think it's a clean report in that the trades already predicted that and put that into the price.
What about for livestock producers? Anything here that they ought to look at and say, oh, I need to consider this as I move forward?
Yeah, I think there's a big thing for the livestock producers. The big thing that you asked me a minute ago that I haven't touched on when it came to the turn in the futures or the potential for the futures market to turn is the technicals. It's the momentum. It's the trends. That's what has changed in terms of our structure of our market now since the financial crisis. And when the funds see that momentum, see those trend changes, they're probably going to make a reaction to buying the grains and maybe selling off on the hogs and selling off on the cattle, because we have seen, generally speaking, a stronger cattle and hog market on cheaper feed grains, more of a traditional market, but different players this time. So when the technicals turn on the bottom side for the grains, I'd be looking for the hogs and cattle maybe have really big difficulties making any new highs. So bring back in the hedging mindset.
I suppose it might be important to mention that on the weekly trade, November soybeans were up 40 cents, and they posted an outside up week, and it was pretty good-sized outside up week, too.
Yeah, this is a real, real chart to behold because, like I said, we really haven't seen a chart like this in any of the commodities for about 3 months, and we've got a gap in the January bean chart just under the 1375 level. This is probably the best fundamental setup we could have and technical setup we could have to chase after that gap, and this is crucial. Now you're getting into the time period that if you do have a bean rally and it's substantial enough to fill that gap and you go 75 cents higher, guess what? You're pricing yourself out of the demand again, and you're probably attracting South American demand. So utilize this rally. Maybe reown it early on, but as you get higher, start to utilize it to sell the 13 bushels you have left to sell. And I especially want to work on the 14 beans as we get closer to that $11.75, $12 level again.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Talk to you later, sir.
Mm-hmm. That is Mike Zuzlow. He's a Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and will talk to me later. on our Commodity Week program. Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton will join us. So will Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson Commodity Week. It's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. It'll be posted a little bit earlier than usual. You might check around, 4:30 this afternoon. Commodity Week up at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.